God, and then just get back to a lot better what we need to do. So I'm glad to be here. I'm excited to be here. Let's look in Isaiah chapter 12, and I would like to read verse 3. Isaiah chapter 12, and verse 3. Normally, I don't use full text because I'm afraid if I want to remember the whole page, and then they have to pay me workman's comp, and that would just be bad all the way around. So, Isaiah 12 and verse 3. And the Bible, I'll be reading from the King James Version. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 15, and let's look at verse 13. Romans chapter 15, and let's look at verse 13. And the Bible reads, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And now, let's turn to Revelation chapter 22, and I want to read verse 17 to you. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Before we go into our sermon, will you pray with me, please? Dear Father, which art in heaven, as we are about to enter this study of your word, I pray that you will be with me. The speaker, help me to say only the things in accordance with your word. Dear Father, I pray that you will be with us as a congregation as we listen to your word. Help us to apply them to everyday lives. Dear Father, we want to be pleasing to you. We desire to be profitable servants to you. Dear Father, I pray that you will help these words to do that for us, to inspire us to be more of what you want us to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, I want to tell you why I'm preaching this sermon. This sermon will be about living water, and we're going to be in John chapter 4, so if you want to go there, I wanted to bring this bottle of water because we all have drank water except for William. If you don't know that, William does not like water. How do I know that? We ate at Cracker Barrel a few days ago, and you know how the waitress comes around, hey, would you like water? Would you like water? And William said, I do not partake of water, which is William. You know, that's just William, but we'll let that be. So the reason that I'm sharing this sermon with you is not because it's something that's original to me. It was something that hit me square in the face and showed me what I was not. About a year and a half ago, I was in Vietnam. If you don't know anything about Vietnam, I didn't either. I went there a couple times. I've been there six times. And I've gone there and I preached the gospel. The Christians there are very young in the faith. And so any message that you bring from the gospel, they're just soaking it up. And what happens when we go, we normally fly into Ho Chi Minh City, which was formerly Saigon. And if you don't know how long it takes to get from the United States, from Huntsville, Alabama, to Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam, I will tell you, it takes anywhere from 18 to 24 hours. And it's like sitting in a 2x2 broom closet on a plane. And you don't get to just sit on one plane. The joy of it is you get on one plane and then you fly for about 6 hours. And then you wait a couple hours and you get on another plane. And then you wait a couple hours and you get on another plane. So it's great. So you're tired when you get there. And when you get there, it's a lot like that you hear about in read about in the gospel. People are gathered there. They're ready to hear the word. And you are exhausted. And so you normally stay there, I normally stay there about a week. And so this is day 5 out of day 7. And we fly in Ho Chi Minh City, we preach there for about 3 days, and then we will travel to this other province, this other city called Binh Dinh, and it's a 2-hour drive. And let me tell you about the cars in Vietnam. They are small. And now, I know that I am not a very large person, but in Vietnam, I am like Goliath. I am looking around and I can see for miles. Do you understand what I'm saying? So getting in any kind of vehicle over there is like, All right, we are ready to go. So I am in this car, and we have, I'm traveling with two other guys. There are two guys that met us there. There is a translator, and then there's two men that are locals that are traveling with us to take us to the province of Benjamin, which is 2 hours away. So we are in the hugest car that they have, a minivan in Vietnam, which is very small. And I get to sit. You ever know? Have you ever heard this thing, this third row seating that they have now? Yeah, it's not third. It's like sitting on a 2x4, and you have less room in the plane. I was longing for the plane. I was in this car, and I was like, I need to go get on the plane. They have more room there. However, I'm in this car, and this guy that we just picked up is meeting with the contact, and the contact asks him. He said, what do we as Christians need to do here in Vietnam to spread the gospel? And so this man starts sharing this message. And first of all, I'm really tired, I'm really cranky, and then my pride kicks in. I don't know if that ever happened to any of you, but it happened to me. And I was offended. I was like, why isn't he asking me this? Why isn't he asking anyone to watch this? Have you ever been in an auditorium and listened to a sermon and now you needed to respond to that sermon and the other part of your brain was saying, this is dumb, don't listen to this? You ever had that internal thing? That was happening to me. I was tired and I was offended. And this man started preaching from John chapter 4. So if you will, turn with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, we're going to read verses 1 through about verse 15. Now therefore, the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized many more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized none but his disciples. He left Judea and departed again unto Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Many come to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Joseph's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat down on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. It was about noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Now take note of this. It's about noon. It is a water. They don't have running water in this part of the world. And how many women? It says, a woman is at the well at the same time Jesus is there. For his disciples had gone away. This is verse 8. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have dealings with Samaritans, right? And also take note that in public or private, and very little in private, men have no dealings with women either. So not only is she a Samaritan, but she is a Samaritan woman. And Jesus had opened his mouth and said, I would like something to drink. I would like some water. Then Jesus answered her in verse 10 and said to her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And then the woman said to him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said to her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And then the woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And this is what this man was sharing with the Vietnam our Vietnam contact, he said, let me tell you about this well of water springing up into everlasting life. And notice this woman's response. I like some of this water. Show me where this water is. How can I get some of this water? Now skip down into verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said unto the men, come, see a man which told me all the things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Now look at this. This is a woman. Her very purpose was to come and to draw water out of the well and to take it back to her house. Jesus is sitting by the well. He takes a minute, asks her for some water so that he could tell her about everlasting water. And then she said, I like some of this water. And their conversation is such that, look what happens in verse 28. She had left, the whole reason she was there, she had left that reason and gone and told people, hey, let me tell you about somebody. This guy sitting at the well, you need to come meet him. He is the Christ, the one that we have read about. He is the Savior of the world. This is what he's talking about. And people, they listened to her. Look down in verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him, for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry there with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Jesus took an opportunity to use the physical world to tell her about what the spiritual world. She came to the well seeking water, and she left with spiritual water. What is the spiritual water? It's God's Word. Let's look more into this idea. Turn with me back to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. We're actually going to read the whole chapter. It's 6 verses, but it's verse 3 is the high point. And we need to read it. It's just a great chapter. We'll just read it. And in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Here's our key verse. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare that his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. So, this man, his name is Steve Doty, he started in John chapter 4, and he says, this woman asked about the well of salvation. This was in reference to Isaiah chapter 12, which we have just read in verse 3, about how God is going to draw out wells of salvation from people, and that he is giving that to us, and that is our opportunity. And again, he encouraged us, and then he went to Romans chapter 15, in verse 13, and he read this. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye might abide in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Here is the wealth of salvation that God is bringing forth, that we are privileged to, that we get allowed to, and this is how it happens. Through God. The God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. It's through God. Everything is through God. And he has provided that to us. In fact, he provided that to the Israelites in the Old Testament. I know that our readings We have suggested readings, and the reading this week is for Leviticus 5, 7-21. But we have read in Exodus where water flows from a rock. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. We won't go to Exodus, but we want to go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll read verses 1 through 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea and did eat the same spiritual meat, that would be the manna, and they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Well, what is he talking about? Well, in two times, God brought forth water out of a rock. In Exodus chapter 17, which is shortly after that he had gotten the people out of the land of Egypt, they had sacked the Egyptians without ever laying a finger on them, and he had destroyed the Egyptians with the Red Sea, all this, and they were still not believing that he was God. And they were complaining against Moses in Exodus chapter 17, and they were going to kill him because they had no water. And God brought forth water from the rock. But the passage I want to look at is Numbers chapter 20. This is the second time that they bring forth water from the rock. And then, they're angry again with Moses. They have no water. Exodus. Numbers chapter 20 and verse 11. Numbers chapter 20 and verse 11. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also drank. So let's lay the groundwork for this. So when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, there were about 600,000 men. That's besides women and children. And they had all of the beasts and the cattle that they had raised in the land of Egypt. And so they marched through the Red Sea. They got water the first time. This is the second time. So imagine this. Huntsville is 500,000. The greater Huntsville area is probably, close to 1 million. This area of people is thirsty. And there is no water. And God causes water to flow from this rock for over 1 million people to give them water. And not only for them, but for their animals as well. In the middle of nowhere. And the example is not the physical one, it's the spiritual one. God has given us Christ, the rock. And from the rock flows everlasting life, flows water freely that we are allowed to drink, that he invites us to drink, because that's what the invitation is in Revelation chapter 22. However, what did they do? Well, turn with me to Psalms chapter 78. Psalms chapter 78 and verse 15. So this psalm is about God's continued guidance, even though Israel is not believing. Psalms chapter 78, verses 15 through 17. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock, and he caused waters to run down like rivers. And then here's the key verse. In verse 17, and they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. Why? Because they didn't believe. They didn't believe that God could provide for them physically. Really? They had just seen these 10 plagues. against all of Egypt, and they were not affected. They had just seen that the Egyptians had, they had spoiled the Egyptians and hadn't raised a finger. They had just seen God destroy all of the Egyptian army in the Red Sea, and yet they didn't believe. They're terrible people, right? Are we so different? Are we so different? God provides for us every day, physically. He provides for us every day spiritually as well, through Christ. And it's an open invitation. And He is constantly encouraging people, come to me. I want you to be a part of my family. I want you. I want you to be saved. I want you to have everlasting life. That is the constant invitation. In Jeremiah chapter 2, if you'll turn with me there, Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13. It's a commentary again on the children of Israel. For my people have committed two evils. One, they have forsaken the fountain of living water. And two, they have hewn out hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Is the world so different today as it was in Jeremiah's time? Do you think that any of the other ideas that the world has apart from Christ has been hold any water? Is there anything that is going to convince people that there is no God other than God? There is no way of salvation other than Jesus Christ. But yet there are all these different things. You can do this and feel better. You can do this and you can be saved. You can do this and be saved. That's not what God says. There's one way. I have all the water. That is what God is saying. I have all the water. I will give you the water. But what happened in Jeremiah? They didn't want the water. We don't want your water, God. We will find a way to make it on our own. Well, it doesn't work that way. Because here's the way that sin works. Once you have sin, you cannot be in God's presence. That's the magic of sin. The greatness of sin. Which the world is not going to take. And here's the greatness of God. I can cleanse your sins through Jesus. Turn with me to Zechariah chapter 13. Let's look at verse 1. Zechariah chapter 13. And the Bible reads, in that day, there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Well, what is that fountain? That fountain is Jesus Christ. Go back to the story of the woman at the well. What did she learn about? She learned about Jesus. What did she learn about worship? She learned that she needs to worship the true God and not just a God. What did she learn that made her want to share God with other people? She learned Jesus. Jesus gave her living water, everlasting water. And in Jeremiah's day and in our day, we can't make it on our own. There is no way that we can find a way to get to God other than what He has allowed. But yet people still try. I'm going to do it my way. Well, God doesn't accept my way. I'm going to do it this way. Well, God doesn't accept that. But He provides us living water. And the part of the sermon that slaps me in the face when this guy was preaching was, and remember, we didn't have really room for a Bible, so he's just quoting off the top of his head, and he wasn't actually quoting all these passages, so I had to go back. I remember what he's saying while I'm fighting with myself of, I don't really want to listen to this sermon, but realizing I needed to hear this sermon. When he talks about, in Romans 15 and verse 13, "Now the God of hope fill you with all hope and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." And this is the point he made. He said, when you have living water, then you are filled with God so much that He shines forth in your face and in your eyes. When you're living a way that you're supposed to be living, the fountains of everlasting water which bubble up from inside us when we are a part of the family of God, they are what cause us to have a face that shines with victory and eyes that shine for the everlasting life. And the part that hit me was, he was actually talking with the translator, and the translator turned to him and said, he had dismissed the class, and the translator turned to him and said, I think you're preaching to me. I don't think I live this way. And he said, I was, and you aren't. And here I am in the back of this truck in Vietnam hearing a sermon that I desperately needed to hear. Does God shine through your face and your eyes? When I look at my own life, I don't see that, but I want to see that. And I'm not saying that I'm a work in progress, and you are too. But that's where I want to be. I want to be that kind of man. I want it to be that if I was on trial, it wouldn't be that I barely made it as a Christian. If I was on trial, I'd want there to be so overwhelming evidence that it's like, we don't need to bring any more witnesses. We know that he's a Christian, and let's condemn him to death right now. That's what I want. Here's the problem. That's not where I am. And I wanted to share this lesson with you because it resonated with me. And I want to know how to get that. How do we get that? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Jesus said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." I want to be that. How do I get that? I want to be filled with His righteousness. Well, how do I do that? Well, he gives us that answer a little bit in chapter 4. You remember Matthew chapter 4 is the temptation of Christ. We'll start in verse 2. "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was after and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.'" That's where it comes from. How do we get this everlasting wellspring of water, this living water that should spring up from us? Well, John chapter 7. Jesus tells us, John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. And the Bible reads, 38 and 39. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." What does that mean? God has allowed us to have living water through the Holy Spirit. Well, how do I get the Holy Spirit? That's a great question. That's the same question that was asked on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. If you want to turn there, Acts chapter 2. In verse 38, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and here's the key, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.' For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Have the opportunity today to have living water. This is the living water. It's not this water. It's this water. Do you want this water? God calls us to do that. He invites us. The call is easy. It's obedience. Within that obedience, there needs to be, we need to hear, we need to believe, we need to repent, we need to confess, we need to be baptized. However, if we've done that, and we haven't stayed true to this word, if we aren't living and breathing this, if it doesn't make such a difference that people see that we are different and we are changed because of Jesus, He offers us a chance to repent, to turn back. That's what happened with Simon in Acts chapter 8. When he thought he could buy the gift of the Holy Spirit with money, and Peter says, you have neither part nor lot in this matter. And he told him to repent and come back. This is the invitation, and this is the Lord's invitation. It's Revelation 22. In verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Do you want the water? The invitation's open to those who've been baptized and those who've not been baptized. The invitation is open. If you have a need, would you come forward and, as we stand and as we sing?